everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the UGASports.com Georgia, all things Georgia, call-in show. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined alongside me, as always, Andy Stowe, and the ever-running late Eddie from Ackworth is here as well. Glad to have you guys here with us Sunday night. And we like having you guys here because you guys help make the show go. Let us know where you're watching from. Let us know if you have any comments, first time, long time, anything like that. Put it in the comments. We'll put you up on the show. We love hearing from you guys so much. And it's what makes the show keep going. So before we get into our topics, I will pass it around the horn. Andy, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. That's, you know, Georgia beats the Nerds two games. Should have been three, so we kind of got screwed out of that game. But, you know, it's only going to count as two, though, Eddie. They're not – that game will never be finished. But, you know, hey, we beat them.
You've got a new setup tonight, I see, Andy.
I moved it around just a little bit. You know, it's –
a couple of escape doors in case somebody attacks them, it looks like, right?
Look, we have bad crime here in Royston, so – ask JT the Godfather or the Dogfather. He knows about
the crime we have. I know. Royston is the epicenter of murders, right?
Yeah. Eddie, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. You know, if you'd asked me, Paul, I'm going to go back just a year. If you'd asked Eddie from Ackworth, what are you doing on March 3rd, 2024, sports-wise? And I had told you I started my morning with some great English Premier League soccer games. That was followed by women's basketball, watching Caitlin Clark bust the record open, then Georgia women's softball and Georgia baseball. I'd have thought you were crazy, but that's exactly what I did.
And to top it off,
awesome.
And to top it off, you're talking about on YouTube, on UGASports.com.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. But
big soccer guy now, Ed?
Yeah.
Big soccer guy?
Yeah. I've gotten hooked on – well, Logan Booker is a Manchester – our buddy from 960 The Ref. He's a big Manchester City fan, so I watched him play this morning. It was a great match. But, yeah, every Saturday and Sunday now I get up with coffee, 9 o'clock, put on those games. It's like having baseball on in the background. It's relaxing. It's comforting. It's fun.
So did you not watch the Atlanta Braves today, though? Did you not
watch that? I did not.
What? All things Georgia call-in show, not Manchester.
Okay, y'all can fill me in. I'll just be the dummy. I'm late anyway, so what the hell's the difference, right?
Chris Sale was on the hill. You missed his.
I'll tell you who wasn't late, though, and that was to the NFL Combine, Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey showed out, boys. So we will go down, kind of talk through each one of these guys' performance at the Combine like we told you we would last week. And one guy, the main guy that stood out to me, obviously Ladd McConkey. And I actually got to watch his drills because I had the baby boy on the shoulder, sleep in the chair. So I got free roam of the TV. And every time Ladd was on the field, they're always like, is that McConkey? Is that McConkey? They were very impressed with him. Somebody said a fourth or fifth round grade for him. I don't see that. I see much higher than that. That's what they had him. I think Daniel Jeremiah said that. And he said,
hey, is that pre-combine or is that
pre-combine?
Now?
Pre-combine. I think he shoots up maybe to the second round.
Potentially.
I think he's a versatile athlete, and just kind of goes to show you what this kid, you know, persevered through to go from, you know, no name three star signing with Georgia late to potentially probably getting into the second round. I see some familiar names in here. You got Brett Weimer, old James Caraway. He said, can't take you serious with using the word match. I agree. Keith Bradshaw over on Facebook holding it down for us. What's up, man? Garrett Key, another we'll get to it. Garrett had another meltdown on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it or not. He's a great follow on Twitter, guys. He really is.
Oh, I responded to it.
Yeah, okay, good. We've got Jim Perklin here over on the old X machine, the Twitter machine. What's up, Jim?
What's up, Jim?
James, and then Brett Weimer, 439 smoking 40. So with that being said, if you missed the combine, I don't know if you missed much from the Georgia players. Anything else stick out to you guys? Obviously, there's one big guy, but I'll leave that. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, that Amaris Mims video of him running a 5.07. I do. What is he? 6 foot? What, 6 foot six and or 6'8"?
No, 6'8", 340.
340. A guy that big, that fast. It's almost. I mean, that's the cheat code. And the guy who was it on Twitter called him an Avenger. I mean, it was like, this is seeing a guy that big. That's scary. I don't know. I don't know what you do with a guy. And I saw someone was commenting, was like, you can't chop block him in the NFL, you know, like the corner. So they just have to get ran over. So I'm looking forward to whoever he goes to see him run some guys over in the NFL.
curious, Eddie, because I watched a lot of the mock drafts pre-combine. This is when you kind of really can start watching the mock drafts and taking them serious is after the combine, I feel like, and then you get further into pro days. But I didn't see Amarius Smith. I saw him early in the mock drafts, first rounder. These ones that have been coming out, I haven't seen him. I think he bumps back up. What do you think, Eddie?
Oh, absolutely. But before I get to that, this is what drives me nuts about the combine. And you brought it up, Paul, in the beginning of your comments. Everybody's all of a sudden like, oh, my God, this Ladd McConkey guy, he's really good. He's fast. He can cut. You, Andy, me, we've been watching this kid for 3 damn years saying, holy crap, this guy is good. And now all of a sudden they're at the combine and they're like, wow, this kid's pretty good. Have you been watching tape? Have you watched anything this guy's been doing? I mean, pay attention. That if all you need to do is watch that play they ran. I don't remember who it was against when they threw the ball to him and he was supposed to throw the ball. Who was that against, right? And then he tucked it.
That was the last game of the season.
Yeah, okay. It was the bowl game. That's right. And he's like, it's not open. And he goes around and jukes. Lays a guy's jock on the field for FSU and then goes into scores. That right there was the play that was like, that's a pro player right there and a second round player. So that kind of stuff drives me crazy. They're in underwear. I'm not knocking what he did by any means, but we all knew he was going to show out because we've been watching this kid do it. He's a baller. He's incredible. Let me read this to you real quick. Amarius Mims, 4.33 second shuttle time, ties Jake Fisher for the best by an offensive tackle since 1999. Listen to this. Jake Fisher was 6'6", 306. Mims is 6'8", 340.
To give you a little perspective,
he's an alien.
On that 20-yard shuttle, just out of the guys from Georgia, I'm not going to go into everybody because I probably couldn't find Mims. Kamari ran a 4.12. Kendall ran a 4.38. Cedric ran a 4.82, and Zion ran a 4.33
is inhuman.
Incredible. Yeah. And it's the type of number, and that's what I mean. I guess we can kind of go into this topic because you brought up the they're out there in underwear comment. but before we do that, real quick, Foster Moss says, "What's up, Foster? We've been missing you, man. I see your comment, Garrett. I'm going to get to in a second. How much stock do you put into this?" Because there's always guys at the combine. Xavier Worthy, perfect, 4.21.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 165 pounds. But do people care? He ran a 4.21.
Somebody will care. All it takes is one.
That's what I'm saying. So where are you? Like, I like this stuff because it's just analytics. It's fun. It keeps college football going for just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because we get to see these guys. But some people don't care for it at all. Like, did you watch any of it? Either one of you watch any of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Now, I'll be honest. I taped it and then fast forwarded to the Georgia guys and watched them. I didn't watch, Xavier Worthy do his, I just saw it later, but I watched the Georgia guys for sure. Absolutely.
That's fair. I'm just curious because, I mean, I feel like there's some people out there that just do not care about this. And they've dragged it out now to it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You even heard Rich Eisen in the booth. He's like, we might get out of here Sunday and before our flight.
They're 4 and 5 hours long. I mean,
it's a long time.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say he would have ran a 4.65 40. Would you have felt any different about him? You being someone that's watched him for 3 years, would you have felt any differently about him?
So I think the biggest thing with that was you'd have to go back and like look at his 10-yard split, right? So his 10-yard split, Kendall Milton had a great 10-yard split, 1.51, but his 40 was not up to par.
4.62.
Yeah. Ladd was 1.52. If Ladd was 4.65, this is pretty funny. Maker Mark says, he taped it. How old are you?
That's
Kelly always gives me a hard time. I say that all the time. I'm going to tape this. I know it's old fashioned, but that's what we used to do back in the day. Okay. I DVR'd it.
That is my boss, who is the IT director in technology. So, of course, he's going to have to call me.
That was great. Foster Moss says, I believe Ladarius used to get chased by dogs on purpose. He's so fast. Corey Henderson says, go dogs. What's up over there on Facebook? How are you, my friend? Let's see. This was a good one, though. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Garrett. He says, Herb Street had a good tweet about him. Did y'all see it? Said he's going to be this year's Puka. So, Puka Nacua.
Puka was not drafted this high.
Well, Puka was what, a fourth round pick?
I think he was a fifth round pick, was he not?
Fourth or fifth, yeah. Fourth well, we've got IT boy on it. He's got 7 monitors over there. He'll find it in just a second.
Yeah, he was not a second rounder, which I do. I think that's realistic now for Ladd McConkey, don't you?
He was the 77th pick overall.
So what round?
Fifth round.
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was fifth.
I wasn't about to start doing math in my head and the compensation picks. No, but you have compensation picks too.
Yeah.
Right. Marshall Fleming over on Facebook says Ladd 32 to Kansas City. Could you imagine Ladd playing in that Kansas City offense?
Imagine getting punched by Marshall Fleming. My God.
true. Both of those things. Garrett says he says Tebow. Also, earlier in the show, we missed it. Dogfather, what's up, dog? He says, who wins in a 40, Eddie or Paul? What are you guys running a 40 right now?
I'm not even going to run the thing. I'm just going to punch you in the face, and then I'll run the thing. So it's over.
All right, you guys heard it here first. Full-on assault here. Lock his ass up. No, seriously, what do you think you could run it in?
I have no idea. I got bad knees, dude. I don't trust myself running fast.
What you got, Andy? You run.
Yeah, but he runs long distances. That's different.
I think I can do it in a 4.9. I think I can.
No, you're 4.9. Shit.
Oh my gosh. We got to do this now.
I will set this up.
Yes.
If I can do 4.9, Eddie's got to give me half his house.
Fair.
Fine.
Fair.
Half of Betty is yours if you do a 4.9.
I think I can get a 5.6.
Wait a minute.
You just add 0.07 to that.
I was joking. I couldn't run a 4.9. I couldn't do a 4.9 in my truck. So I think I would be in the 5.6, 5.7 range. But no,
I'm going 6.2, 6.3.
You're tall. You got long legs. You can do
that. Dude, I always was slow, man. I was never. So here's a quick story. I know you guys don't care, but eighth grade, I played varsity baseball and I played at a small Christian school, then moved. But I batted first and I got on base, got walked all the time. Then the coach's son would come sub in for me. He had Osgood Slater's disease in his knees. He was faster than I was. So that tells you something. I mean, just to let you know.
So you only played one inning every time you played baseball?
No, it was like he could sub in, and then I could go back out there and play second
base. Oh, different rules. Okay.
Yeah. Mountain Man said I run it in about 8 minutes. Nice. Nice.
That's more realistic.
Yeah. And Dogfather said I'm buying Andy a barbecue plate from Bar H.
I think I can do a 5.6. I think I can get a 5.6. So. I couldn't hit a 4.6. I really, in my truck. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how they get that fast. So.
Yeah. And – I don't know. The Xavier Worthy, the 4.21, it looked fast, but it didn't look like he was moving 4.21. I don't know. And again,
I don't know. He looked pretty special when he was
running.
Did he? He did. Yeah. I watched that several times, like, wow, you can just kind of see it. I don't know. But once again, that's a measuring stick. If you watch what they did in college, I mean, great. He ran a 40. How many guys are running a 40 in the NFL? How many times is Amarius Mims going to run a 40 in the NFL? Zero.
Right. So that's matter. Why. That's why, like the 10-yard splits are kind of really.
Yes,
where you look,
that's right. Right. That's true.
So if folks are banging on Kendall Milton, so 40-yard dash, go down the list here. Dejon didn't run the 40.
No, he did.
Kendall did. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys that ran the 40. There's a couple. Brock obviously didn't compete in any drills.
Now, why? Can we go back to that? Did I miss this? Is Brock still nursing that ankle?
I think it was more. He just felt more comfortable to get a little bit more work in before.
He just wanted to do that on the pro day.
Yeah. So like, you know, Caleb Williams, same thing. Those high level prospects. You just don't see him working out in the combine anymore. Like, what do they have to prove at the combine that they can't show at pro day?
Right.
You know?
But there again, the argument is, well, you go to the pro day, he's playing with his guys, he's more comfortable there and all that kind of stuff. So is this really a true measurement, right? I mean, I'm just throwing that back out there to play devil's advocate. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was one of those things where he had nothing really to gain. What's he going to go out there and run a 4.3? You know, like he's already a beast. He's already number one of his position.
Yeah.
Rest up a little bit, make sure, you know, and he just might want to rest up a little bit. But we had
ankle,
no indication.
Ankle's not a problem anymore, right?
Yeah. We had no indications over the weekend that it was anything injury related. It was more just he wanted to kind of sit out and keep moving. James Caraway says our safeties ran faster than I thought they would. Yeah. So Javon 4.47.
Yeah, Javon. Tyke, he looked good.
Tyke 4.46. Very excited for both of those guys. Curious to see where they go. And Kamari also participated but did not run the 40. Right. So with that being said,
I was interested in what his 40 would have been.
So with that being said, Andy, you are the maker of the list. Kamari, Dejan, and Brock, 40 times. What do you got, Eddie?
Like, who's going to be the fastest? Or you want to actually put time?
Yeah, we watched 1,000 guys run 40s this weekend. You should have it right there. Boom. What you got?
Shit, you put me on the spot. I think Dejan's is probably 4 or 5. I don't think he's very fast, right?
Yeah, 4 or 5? Which is crazy to say not very fast. We have to take that into context.
He's not.
4 or 5 is moving, though.
I know, but relatively speaking,
yes,
right?
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Right. Just want to put that out there.
And Brock, I'm going to say 4-4. He can move, man. Watch him outrun people.
What about Kamari? What do you got on Kamari?
I'm going to say 4-5 on Kamari as well.
You think? Okay, Paul, what you got?
All right, I'm going 4.39 Kamari.
Okay. Wow.
4.52 Brock Bowers, and
wow,
4.53 Dejan. It's not bad.
4.52.
It's not bad. Yeah.
You said it, so of course you're going to say it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You're judging your own crap.
No, Kamari's hitting 4.39.
You really think so?
I don't think he's going to get under 4.4, but I think he'll be like 4.43. Yeah,
that's strong.
And for Dejan Edwards, I think he's 4.6. I don't think he's straight line fast. I think he's shifty.
I'm with you. That's why I did. I mean, mine wasn't as high as yours.
Well, that's why we've got him, right? So when is George's pro day, Andy?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I'm putting you on the spot on that, but we'll have those numbers. We will bring them live. We'll see who is closest on the all three there. I just wanted to put that out there real quick.
Hang on, Paul, before we get back. Because I'm going to do my 40. What is your 40 speed? What do you think you are? Because I think I can do a 4.6 or a 4.7. What you got?
What I could run?
Yeah, what can you run it in?
Like a 6.3.
Okay, so you got 6.3? Okay. All right. I'm writing it down too while I'm doing it. So
yeah. No, yeah, no shot. And you still are holding too that you can run a 4.6.
No,
and
then five six.
You just said 4.6 and you said Dejan Edwards ran a 4.6 too. You are crazy.
5.6. I was joking about the 4.9, but I think I can do a 5.6.
He's just throwing numbers out at this point. March 13th, Big Hoss says. March 13th. So we don't have to wait too long. 10 days to see where our predictions come in. Any other guys? Hey, shout out to AD Mitchell.
Looked good.
It's really funny that most of these guys from Georgia, they're 40 times. If you collectively take them the past few years, shout out to the strength and conditioning at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting these guys ready. Last year, everybody talked about Georgia's guys running in the 40. The year before, yeah, Jordan Davis, you know, Jalen Carter, those guys. Just shout out to the strength and conditioning program over there at Georgia. They're getting these guys in shape, and you're not disappointed when you see these guys running.
You know, I was shocked with that AD Mitchell speed because we really didn't see that at Georgia. He ran beautiful patterns and very precise routes, almost like a Ladd McConkey, but he never had that catch a slant and take it to the house, right? He never really did that. So good for him. That's awesome.
4.34 was pushing it. He was third at the combine, only behind his teammate Xavier Worthy and then Brian Thomas from LSU with a 4.33.
Right.
And AD, shout out to him. Any other guys that caught your eye here at the combine before we move on to the next thing?
I'm just curious how you feel about Worthy, his 4.21 speed. Like, is that something, would you say, okay, this is some guy, I'm not saying the eighth pick of the draft, but is this a guy you think the Falcons should look at even though he's 160 pounds?
No.
Okay.
No. Why not?
Why, based on 140 time?
He's got a good college tape too.
How many years has he played in college?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7?
just throw a number at the wall, whatever. Yeah. See what sticks.
James Caraway says Burton was the slowest between the three. That's
what a shame. Oh man, I was rooting for him so hard. I wanted him to do well.
Hey, Big Hoss makes a good point. He says big difference from the Nada and Holyfield combines. Yeah, yes,
that's true.
It is different. It is different. And if you remember correctly, those guys were Rick guys, were they not?
They were.
Yeah. Yes.
So you know, not taking a shot at Nada or Holyfield. Right. Both of them would, you know,
taking a shot at Rick. That's okay. The man's suffering from a disease, but you go right ahead and take a shot.
Chop Robinson for Dogfather says very impressive 40. So he's a guy Falcons could look at.
Yeah.
Josh Gilham says Brock should have ran. He would have been top five with a good enough time, maybe top 10 now. He's still got time. 10 days
already.
It's only 10 days from now, Josh. Georgia's pro day. He'll run something. He'll put something out there.
He may be a top five pick now. He may be going to San Diego.
I don't think he's going to be there at eight for the Falcons. And not that they're going to take him, but I think he goes earlier than that.
Now this transitions very well into the Falcons. But before we do that, I want to talk about what James Caraway said. Combine showed me versus better than Turner. Turner had like one of the best combines of.
He graded out really high at Dallas. Turner did, didn't he? Like one of graded out really well. So I mean, come on, James, come on and defend that. I want to see.
Yeah, James, that's a crazy take, brother. before we jump to the Falcons, even though it would be a great transition to, you know, go right to them, we do have to talk about UJ baseball. Shout out to them. 2-0 against Tech. Should have been 3-0, like we said earlier. And then Georgia basketball.
Wait, before you do that, what happened in that first game where I'm trying not to get in the weeds here, but Andy, maybe you can explain it. We were up in the seventh inning, and we were beating them 9-3.
Seventh would have been a full game.
It was in the middle of the fifth.
I'm sorry. I went too far. But anyway, go ahead, Andy. Explain what happened there.
Well, basically what happened is they went ahead and called the game. And
who called it?
The officials, the umpires did. So, but it was, I think there was some kind of back channel, like go ahead.
It was a half an inning from being a complete game, right?
Correct.
We were up big, and they said the rain was never, it wasn't worse than it had been.
Stayed the same throughout the whole game.
It was almost halfway where they would have called the game, and they just went ahead and canceled it. And so they said they'll reschedule if it works out.
Bull crap. You're right. That game's over. What a joke.
I'm curious if this game today wouldn't have lasted 6 hours. What I say 6 hours being a little facetious there. It was a very long game. Had they tried to maybe throw that last game into there and make it an official game, who knows?
They could have, but Tech didn't want to do that.
Yeah,
it was pretty obvious.
Yeah. Shout out to the Georgia baseball team, though. What are they? Right. 9-1?
Yeah,
9-1. Yeah. Shout out to those guys. Now, on the opposite spectrum, and Georgia basketball started pretty good too. So let's not get too crazy on Georgia baseball just yet. Georgia basketball, man. That game on Saturday was tough to watch. It was tough to watch in the sense that they didn't score the last three some odd minutes.
No, wrong. 6:35.
Yeah, my bad. My bad. And I'm a Mike White fan. The reasoning behind just like shooting three-pointers all the time and not running sets and things of that nature, like this late into the year, it's a little concerning, right? I think Georgia had enough players on their team to be competitive this year. And what I mean by that is go a little bit above 500. Noah Thomason's pretty good. Justin Hill has his spots, right?
Abdur-Rahim is a good player,
right? Blue Kane and Silas Dimery, very talented freshmen that I'm looking forward to watching.
She was not great, but he's a presence inside.
He is. If you feed him, he will eat down there.
Yep.
But the problem is, man, it's just you look at this team and you're like, they don't. Melendez is good, but his playing time got cut drastically in these last few games. For whatever reason, we saw M.A. Moncrief for the first time meaningful minutes this late into the season. It's just I didn't see a consistency, and you look at Florida, right? They had a coach come in the same time. Florida's going to be making a tourney. You look at Tennessee, they're fourth overall. You look at South Carolina.
That's the one.
South Carolina's a really good basketball team. Yeah.
You look at Auburn. You look at Alabama. The reason I just mentioned all five of those schools is because all five of those schools border your state.
Yep.
And all five of those schools are in your division, and all five of those schools are making the tournament. And you're not. So there has to be something that gives. And I don't know. I'm not getting paid millions of dollars to answer that question. Mike White is. But I'm going to be very curious if he's able to retain, his good freshman, bring in Asa Newell and see what you can get in the portal, because I feel like the fans have been there. We've said it all season long.
Yep.
Fans have been there. but you keep putting out a subpar team, and it's not the players. I really don't think it's the players. If you actually were calling plays and running sets, you could look at this a little differently. But it's almost like a glorified like pickup game out there for those guys. That's how I think about it.
Okay, well, the 2020-2021 season, Frank Martin, he was still coaching at South Carolina. They went 6-15 and 4-12 in the SEC. The next year was Frank Martin's last year. He went 18-13 and 9-9 overall. And then Lamont Paris came in, and they went 11-20 and 4-14. This year, they're 21-3 and 9-2. So, I mean, do they have better resources at Columbia, South Carolina than we have at the University of Georgia? I don't think so.
Alex Page says all those teams have older players too. So does Georgia. Justin Hill, Noah Thomason, Sharif Abdul-Rahim,
Chiwa. Chiwa's older.
All these guys are old. Yeah. So it's not youth. It's not a youth.
Well, I think part of it is Mike White started messing with the lineup a little bit. Now, I don't know what's going on with Melendez. I'm with you there. Maybe he was in trouble. I don't know. It just seemed like playing time went away from him, and he's one of our best players. I agree with whoever said that in the chat. But every time, and I'm with you, Paul, the offensive sets to me are just scatterbrained and just kind of like dribble around and try to find an open shot. And just it no rhythm at all. And I don't understand it. And, I mean, I was excited when Mike White came here because what I read, it seemed like the Florida people were upset that Mike White left to go to Georgia. And that made me.
I don't know about that.
He was getting fired.
Initially, I read that. And now, maybe that's not the case now, but initially I read that. Maybe you're right because it was Billy Donovan, then Mike White. How do you follow Billy Donovan, right?
Right.
I mean, I can't. But I mean, I just keep saying, okay, everybody's out for Mike White's head right now. Okay, we fire him. Where are we going next? This is Georgia basketball. Nobody gives two craps about Georgia basketball, including the coaches that are out there. Okay.
Well, you go find a coach like Florida did. They got him from a mid-major, young guy.
We tried that. We got coaches from mid-majors, did we not? We got a coach from Nevada, remember? He was supposed to be the next great thing, and that didn't work. He won
21 games in a year.
Okay. Well, we should have kept him then. Mark Fox should be the coach right now. Is that what you're saying?
Of course. No, I'm just a game. Yeah. That's slow offense.
Hey, it's an offense though.
Yeah, but
it's
not.
So now we want to get Coach Mark Fox back. Is that what we're gonna do?
No, you're literally taking my words and just taking them down whatever avenue you want to take them down. All I'm saying is, you watch this team and you see four out all the time, and they're all just trying to shoot threes. They drive to the basket, hoping to get fouled, and that's the game plan. That's literally the game plan.
I know. I'm aware of that. And
you know, it's tough to watch, man.
The disappointing thing about this season is we won 10 games in a row. And
right.
We were talking, five shows ago about the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's literally what we were talking about. And rightly so. And we're not even going to make the NIT maybe at this point, right? It's just been an incredible decline. And it's gotten worse. The loss to Arkansas on the road was putrid. And then you go out there this weekend and I hear – yeah, all the players are like, we got to get a good win against Texas A&M. They got their asses kicked by Texas A&M, who's terrible. They're awful, and they got their asses kicked. So I don't know. It's just – it's almost like Georgia basketball is cursed. Like they just cannot find their own way.
Did you read Anthony Dasher's Sunday report he puts out?
What did it say?
He said he felt that this is the first time that this basketball team has quit. He said that team.
Yeah, that's right. I did read that. Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the end of the year and you're probably thinking there's.
And he was saying he'd been proud of every game. They never quit, never quit, never quit.
And they didn't.
Yesterday.
They didn't. They didn't quit. And most games, they might get down 25, but they're coming back. They're going to try to cut it within four. Yep. It's just it's tough to watch, especially – like Marvin Charles says, make a commitment into basketball teams and recruit Atlanta. If I had a nickel every time somebody said that to me, I would be a very rich man. It's a lot harder, I think, than people realize to lock down Atlanta because basketball is so nationwide. It doesn't really matter. Like there's no – with the AAU circuit and there's really no loyalty to – a hometown college. You might catch one or two guys every so often. they're like, man, I want to stay and play for the home state. But it's what school is hot, you know, and they want to go to that school.
Well, my fear, Paul, and you can maybe lay into this a little bit, is that we're going to lose some players. You know, I'm just going to throw his name out there. What if Silas Demery says enough of here? I'm going somewhere where I can be successful.
And you're going to talk. You're talking crazy about Silas. His dad's going to show up in the chat.
Well, I just that was the first name that came to mind. But I mean,
I hope he doesn't go anywhere.
You can't tell me that all of these players are like, we're coming back next year. Every one of them's back next year. Hell no, that's not going to happen. And we talked a little bit off air about Asa Newell. So you say he's locked in. He's here. He can't go anywhere at this point. Explain that to everybody, please.
Well, I mean, he signed his NLI.
It's so NIL.
No, he's talking about national letter. National letter of intent.
Okay. All right.
That's awesome. That was the best look. That was priceless, Eddie. He's like, it's NIL.
Yeah. Yeah.
But does that matter?
Okay. He signs his NLI, as you say.
All right. Correct.
So that's done. Are you kidding me? You can't, yeah. The way college basketball is now, you can't get out of that.
Look, his brother is also on the team, right? You've seen him. Look, and you can't just get out of your NIL just because you
the NLI. Team. NLI. You did it too.
All right. Your letter of intent. You can't get out of your letter, your LOI. We'll just say LOI. Reggie said he can always ask to be let out of his LOI. He can. He can ask to be out of it. Yeah. And they can grant him that. But, like, you don't see it happen. It
doesn't happen. Yeah.
No. Okay. So, Newell will be in Georgia, you know. And you'll have him. You'll have Silas Demery. You'll have Blue Kane. You hope to, those should be your two main priorities, right?
Sure. Keep
well, look, I'm talking this through with you.
Okay.
And you'd keep those two guys. You bring in Newell. You bring in. They have another kid that they have in that. Look it up, Andy. He's like a 4-star. They're bringing in this year as well.
Yeah, they do. You're right.
So this is a good question. Beyond Creator says, is Neek's son still coming? He's a year out, so
right.
Yeah, you have to wait on him.
Anything, right? I mean, no, he's like verbal at this point.
Right, right. Yeah. So he's a year out. And then you just go try to bring in guys from the portal, right? You try to go portal hunting, and you try to find that next stud that only you found, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. That roster is going to have a huge turnover, and I think basketball in general, though, Eddie, is going to have a huge turnover every year for most schools.
Yeah.
You're going to see seven or eight different faces, you know, pretty regularly that you didn't see the last year that are playing. It's just what the nature of college basketball is. And with NIL now being a big factor, you'll see it even more, I think.
Right.
It was already happening before NIL.
Yeah.
Like if you thought college football transfers were crazy, like basketball was already there 5-10 years ago with guys in the portal going crazy for basketball.
Right.
So
right.
According to the list, the only one that signed is Asa Newell. He's the only one on the list on the Rivals.
I think
they have. Let me ask you guys this. Is next year it for Mike White? It's get in or you're out.
Okay, so that's I guess that's where we need to ask the question. Okay. Oh, Mike Freeze watching from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Appreciate it, my brother.
Nice.
Where's the line drawn here? And I'm asking Garrett Key.
What's the measuring stick?
Yeah, I'm asking Garrett Key. I'm asking Dogfather. I'm asking James. I'm asking all you guys in the chat. Maker Mike, is next year, does he have to make the tournament to stay? Or, you know, where are you at with this? Where are you at, Andy?
I think he has to make the tournament to stay. Hang on. Let me know. I don't
know. So you go from not even making the NIT to making the tourney. It's the only way he stays.
No, that's what I was going to say. Maybe if he makes the NIT, but you can't have this again. I mean, I don't know that he's getting a minimum of 4 years. What if he does this again? Garrett, turn your camera on, dude. Hop on. I want to hear this because if he does this same thing again next year, I think he's fired. If he has the same record next year, I think he's gone. And James, we went through that with Mark Richt, though. It was like, if we fire Mark Richt, who can we get?
You can't compare Georgia football to Georgia basketball.
I know. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying it was like everybody said, if you fire him, then who? Well, we went out and got Kirby. It's about the right hire. I don't know who.
It's a little different, though. I mean,
it is. I'm with you, but still, I don't know who the guy is, but Florida went out and got a guy from Oakland, and look how good he's doing. So
yeah. So there's a lot of folks.
A lot of fours.
A lot of folks in the chat. Hey, Lane Smith, hope you're doing well, man. Says a lot of folks are saying 4 years. So,
well, next year is his third year. So, I mean, so you think – so for the guys
– saying four, like, four going forward? That's
no, they're saying four total. They're saying
four total. Okay, yeah. Four total. Okay, that's what was throwing me off. Okay.
Yeah. And folks say this. They say this, what Lane said right here. He said, no coach wants to take over the shit program. Nobody wanted to take over Auburn. Nobody wanted to take over South Carolina.
Yeah.
You would say the same thing, right? And they're going to be in the tourney as a high seed.
Yeah.
You can turn around a basketball program a lot faster, I feel like, than you can a football program.
Yeah.
If you have two or three legitimate guys, you can make a run in basketball. In football, you need, eight or 10 difference makers on both sides of the ball combined. So
the consensus here based on the chats is next year is it, right? That's the fourth year.
Next year's third.
Okay. Sorry.
You're just getting a little old, Eddie. It's all right.
I've got a lot of shit going on in my head, Paul.
But no, I'm curious that everybody that's saying he gets at least four. What if he does this again?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Next year, what happens? I think he's gone.
Yeah, I don't think he's gone. I think you probably have 4 years. But the problem is he's going to be under so much more heat next year because he is bringing in a five-star.
Right.
And he's bringing in Ace and Newell. And if that – I mean, that kid's a certified one-and-doner by everybody's standards, right? If he's not able to create some type of magic with him and Dimery and Blue Kane, the fingers will really be pointing. Mike White. Hope he's able to. So we will go from there and see what happens. So Josh Gillum says Frank Martin had South Carolina hooping though. He did. But then for whatever reason they fell off.
Yeah, they did. Hey, watch them in the tourney. They're loaded. I'm telling you, that's a Final Four team. I'm telling you, they're really good. We saw them up close and personal. They got some big men inside. South Carolina may be the team to beat. I know Tennessee's really good, but dang, South Carolina's going to be tough. They're a tough out.
Boys, we've got somebody that's a lot more heated about Georgia basketball than anybody in this entire state, probably.
What's up, Keith?
Hey, what's up, Garrett?
Good to see y'all, man.
How's your blood pressure, Garrett?
Man, you know what? I keep telling myself, like, I'm not going to watch them. I'm not going to invest in them every night when they play. And it's just like a train wreck, you can't take your eyes off of. And that's just me with these dudes. They just kind of, I've been following them through the thick and the thin, and they just piss you off. And I tell my dad, I was like, why do I keep doing this to myself? But the reason why I think it's 4 years, and I get all my education from the Hoops Board. I mean, those dudes just know so freaking much. And like, I look at it constantly because they know a lot more than me, but Brooks signed him to a 6-year contract. So obviously he did that out of knowing that, hey, this is going to be a tough gig. And if Brooks didn't think it was going to be something short term where he could turn around, I think he probably sent a 4-year, but they also paid a lot of Florida's
buyout.
That was a huge thing. So, I mean, is money ever an issue at Georgia? I never think so, but I don't even know what it would be if, like, say he let them go, if they let them go next year, if they didn't, or if he didn't get to where they thought it should be. But I think what Brooks will say to him is, I don't think he puts a mandate, hey, you got to make it an NCAA tournament. But I think that he basically puts it, you have to show significant improvement. And what is that significant improvement? That's only going to be between him and Mike White. But I don't think he puts like a mandate, says, hey, this is do or die for you. But I know as us fans, I mean, Eddie, Andy, and I mean, we probably would want to see a mandate because we're just so frustrated, when you see this constantly happen. And what just gets me the most is, obviously, I love Georgia football. That's my thing, as much as y'all. But I get jealous. I'm a jealous person. I love winning at everything. And when I see teams like Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, Tennessee, just as much football schools as we are. Yes, they have not had the success. They have struggled. We know Auburn's struggling. We know Tennessee, but they have had that success in the past. And then here we are, and we just can't get our own way. Like, it just frustrates the dog out of me that, like, all these other football schools can do it,
yeah,
but Georgia is, and they can't.
Well, Mike White was there at Florida for 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, right? And yeah. I don't know how many players he had left over from Donovan. I have no idea. But he brought them to the tournament 4 years out of those seven. We'd be dancing in the streets at Georgia with something like that, right? I mean, we're not even close right now, but I think that's why they brought him over, is because he was getting the team to the tournament, and that's the ultimate goal. And I keep going back to this, Garrett. Okay, let's say next year it's a total wash, like Andy said, and Mike White's out. Where are you going next?
Yeah,
it's going to be some mid-major guy we've never heard of, and I'm telling you, we're going to be right back here in three more years and saying the same damn stuff over again. It's just a
continuous. Okay, so how do you change it then?
Yeah, that's the question. That's what I
don't know.
It's tough. Like, and I was kind of with you, Eddie. I kind of like. Florida fans were saying, and did we get – did Florida fans know something we did? And I don't know. Like, I'm not going to go down that road. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But what I saw with what he did at Florida, and I was like, you know, if you do that at Georgia, they'll put a statue outside of
right.
Hegman. You know, if you can just get to the freaking field of 64 and do it twice in 5 years, I mean, you're a legend there already
at yeah.
University of Georgia. And that's where I kind of came about. I was like, okay, I know he faded in at the end with Florida, and granted – Florida fans had a total expectation that was way above where we're. I mean, they had Billy Donovan that was coming in, and they were expecting national championships. And then here comes Mike White. He didn't live up to it. So, and rightfully, they kind of were ready to move on. But when I saw it, I was like, man, this dude could come and do replay a little bit what Florida fans wanted him out for. We're living the high life. You know, we're rolling a little bit, and we're getting ready to go. I mean, that's the only thing I've wanted, boys, is just give me something post-football that can get through – like the summertime or the wintertime in the spring. And that's, and my dad's echoed that too. Like, have something, you know, after football that can get us excited. And I have high hopes for baseball. I'm loving what I'm seeing right now, but it's just, that's what's so darn frustrating. Like that January and February, and you're seeing like Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee and South Carolina and not LSU, but Kentucky. They're just having a ball. And you know, you see those arenas just packed. I'm like, why can't we experience that joy? You know, why can't we have that? You know, can ride us through maybe to like the end of February and then get baseball in there. And then gosh knows if we can have fun going in June, we're living the highest of the highs. But
well, wouldn't it be nice to have a bracket in March we can fill out with a Georgia team? I'm not saying Georgia. I'm just saying a Georgia team. Kennesaw State, Tech, yes. Georgia yeah. State, whatever. It's just pathetic. You got to make it up. You can't make it up.
Alex Page, I think Alex Page hit it on the head right here, boys. He says, South Carolina and Florida have fans like Garrett more frustrated than anyone due to their coaches being on the timeline as White and their respective results in year two.
A huge thing, so
yeah. All three of those coaches were hired at the same time. All three of those programs were in trending downward, if you would. And two of them have kind of rose from the ash, whereas Georgia's still in that same spot. And I think if I'm – reading the tea leaves here, I think that's what it is. It's just watching these other programs. Garrett said it, jealous guy, you know, seeing these other teams that very well could be you doing it. And yeah, you had Kennesaw State last year, Eddie, you'd be all right. You had one. And it was fun. Hey, I'm not going to lie. Watching Kennesaw State, that was fun, man. That was so much fun.
Yeah, but that doesn't get you right here. I mean, it was a cute story, but Georgia State a few years ago, that was cute. Right here. It's
yeah, but cool. You were cheering for them, were you not?
Of course, but it doesn't mean what it means, Paul. You of know course. What I'm getting at.
Yeah. Garrett.
Well, boys, I appreciate it. I know we're probably these guys in the chat like this enough Georgia basketball. Let's move something. But hey, I enjoyed the heck out of this show.
Thank you, Garrett.
Garrett, I just want you to know that I might not comment on what you put on Twitter, but I definitely see it, my man. And I see your heart breaking every weekend. And I hope. I
one day they're going to bring me to the promised land. I'll keep telling myself that, and it'll be worth it at the end. So, all right, guys, we'll catch you later.
Thank you, Garrett.
Going. See y'all.
Garrett, one of the good guys, man. He came to the UGA Sports meet and greet we had at the basketball game this year. Really, really good guy. Billy Wright says, I watch y'all every week. Love it. Go Dogs from Booklet, Georgia. That's a fake city, Billy.
That's three O's. I've never seen that before.
I think, okay, so he put one too many O's, but Booklet, Georgia, I don't believe is real. Where is Booklet, Georgia, Billy Wright? Tell me, please.
Andy?
I've never heard of this. So I think this
I've never heard of it either. Booklet, Georgia. Come on. What we got?
Oh, it is a place. It is in Bullitt County. Booklet is a city in Bullitt County.
Where is that?
It is 9 miles east of Statesboro. So this is a real place.
Wow. Real place. Booklet, Georgia.
Never heard of it.
Hey, shout out to him.
That's awesome.
Another guy. This guy's real too. His name's James Caraway. He's in the all white today.
Looks What's up, like JC?
Just got back from a wedding and didn't watch any of the combine. No, I know JC did. He had the baby. He's tuned into the TV on the weekends. Yeah.
What Big JC. Are you in right now? Are you in a closet?
Yeah.
Are those hats behind you? What's behind you? Are those hats?
Yeah, my wife's hat. So I built her a closet in like this nook thing.
You literally are in a closet.
Yeah. I have computers behind me. I kind of set this up as my work on the weekend spot as well. It's the only spot my wife and baby haven't taken over.
So normally James, if you're just watching us for the first time, which I hope it's not, but normally James is in the garage. Now he's gotten put into the nook closet above the garage where the ceiling is about 3 foot tall behind him. This man is getting kicked out of his own house. He's only had one kid so far. I would hate to see what happens when you have two, James. You're gonna be calling us on Sunday nights from outside, like
you're gonna be in an outhouse.
Yeah.
Well, she just started solids today, so I had to change my shirt and everything. Yeah. So, because I wanted to defend my Jared Verse take, but I had sweet potatoes all over my.
My gosh! You know that's TMI right there, brother.
But no, yeah. What's on your mind, JC?
Yeah, so I like Jared Verse more in watching the combine. You know, I just don't watch the 40s like you guys do. he has a great. Combination of speed and strength. He actually set the record. Daniel Jeremiah tweeted this. Of guys with 33 arm length and put up 30 reps on the bench, he broke Myles Garrett record for fastest 40-yard dash. So if you want like a Vic Beasley pass rusher, then I guess you go Dallas Turner. But the best pass rushers T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, those guys weren't running 4.4. So you need someone who's quick and fast, but you need someone who's strong. I think Verse has the best combination of strength. Hey,
don't get me wrong. I like Verse. I like Verse too.
Oh, yeah. I do too. But you just compared Dallas Turner to Vic Beasley,
who might not be crazy. Andy, I know this is tough, Andy. Okay. Can you give me a side-by-side of Vic Beasley's combine compared to Dallas Turner, just so we can maybe put this one to bed or bring it up because it might, it could be true. It could be true. I could see it. Dogfather says, wow. But we thought Vic Beasley was a stud too. Why did you compare him to Vic Beasley?
He's just, he's a guy Falcons drafted because he was, straight line speed type of guy. And it just doesn't seem to work out. He was on a defense full of great talent, just like Dallas Turner was. So, he's not going to be exposed as other players who don't have, a ton of first-round picks on that D-line with them. Florida State was a good team, but I think Jared Verse had a lot more to handle on that defense.
So I like how you brought this full circle for us, because I did want to touch on the Falcons at 8 and the whole quarterback situation right here at the end of the show. So I appreciate that. Where do you want them to go? At 8, James, and we'll go around the horn. Now, if you've seen the combine, has it changed anything?
Verse, or if they go Turner, whatever. I'm still riding Kirk Cousins. I've been seeing that percolating a lot. So I think it's going to happen. I want Cousins, and then you can try to get like a Penix with that second round pick, because I do think the Jaguars are going to sign Ridley. So I think you go pass rusher first and your second pick, you get one of these great wide receivers. There's a ton of them.
God. James he's in here. He's in my head.
Paul's got a Woody over James Caraway, it seems like. Good Lord.
It's just he's got the right answers. Shooter says, I want Cousins.
Your answers. I mean, come on.
Okay. Andy, did you find it?
Here you go with Vic Beasley. So Vic Beasley was 6'3", 246 pounds, and his prospect grade was a 6.7. And Dallas Turner, 6'3", 247 pounds. His prospect grade is a 6.48. Dallas Turner ran a 4.46 40, a 1.54 10-yard split. Beasley ran a 4.53 40 and a 1.59 split. Their verticals were Turner was a 40.5, Beasley was a 41, and Dallas Turner's broad jump was 10.7, and Vic Beasley's was 10.10. So, I guess Dallas Turner didn't run the 3-cone or the 20-yard shuttle or the bench press, but I don't know. I'll say this. So Vic Beasley had 35 reps. What did you say that Verse, how many reps did Verse have on the?
He had over 30. I think I can't remember what his number was, okay. But all I'm saying, wow. You get locked in a tiny closet like this long enough, you learn.
you dig deep, right? You
just have nothing else to do.
Yeah, you just stuck like, this was pretty funny. Where was it? I missed it. No, it's gone. There it is. Splash over on Twitter said a Harry Potter treatment from JC's wife.
Yeah. In the closet under the stairs. I like that. That's pretty good.
That's not bad, James. That's not bad. Little, you know, they both are pretty comparable in terms of what they did in college too. I don't know.
Well, I'll say this. If they take Jared Verse.
I'm not going to cry.
Or Dallas Turner at 8.
Not going to cry?
Yeah. That's a line of scrimmage pick. Tickled pink. I don't care. So, I mean, I'm with you, James. That's fine. I'm not going to compare the two players like you did, but and compare one to Vic Beasley. I think that's a little insulting, actually. But
hey, when Vic was coming out, though, of college, it wasn't insulting.
He was highly thought of. Yeah.
Yeah,
but wasn't it a reach when the Falcons got him? I think it was a reach.
That was.
Not when he led the league in sacks.
Yeah.
Well, that was 1 year. And we went to the Super Bowl, but, you know, whatever. So.
Jeez. We had to just go all the way back that way, huh? Who, James, in your opinion, who made the most money out of a Georgia player at the combine this weekend?
Tyke Smith. Best pure nickel corner, and for him to run that fast, I was expecting him to be in the 4-5. So I think he kind of jumped into that day two, maybe late second round, early third round. If he would have ran slow, he's probably a fourth round pick. Ladd, I think, was already going to be a second round pick. So
Do you think so, even after what he did? Really?
I thought before Ladd was going to be a second-round pick. I think he's for sure a second-round pick. So I don't see a huge jump. I think people, real football people, know who Ladd is.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Paul had mentioned earlier, saying that there was reports Ladd was a fifth-round guy. I've never heard that. Late first or the
I don't want to get misquoted, right? I'm almost 99% sure Daniel Jeremiah was talking about Ladd McConkey when he said that. But DJ has also been on our channel here, so I don't want to misquote him, but I'm pretty sure he said fourth or fifth round. But he said next to his name, he had, quote, interesting, which to him, interesting was a keyword to go back and watch more film. That's what he said. So where is Mims now for you? Did that change anything for you? Because Lane Smith saying Mims will go top 10 now. I don't know if I see that.
No way.
Too many good tackles. He hasn't played enough games. He's going to be a late 20s pick, probably. Just he has all the size.
Well, he's first round.
Yeah.
He's first round for sure. Yeah. But injuries, and he hasn't played much. But someone's going to look at that guy and like, okay, you're a freak. You look like a tackle, and he can play that right side.
He looks like Mims is – he's either going to go one of two places. The Raiders, they love, like, freak numbers, right? If him and Xavier Worthy end up at the Raiders, I'd be like, yeah, that's the perfect place.
Yeah, that's freak, a good point, yeah.
Freak numbers, and that's what the Raiders go after. Or he's going to end up with, like, the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin is going to mold him into a 10-year starter. And unfortunately for him, he has no choice. He can't pick where he wants to go.
Right.
So for him, I hope he goes to somewhere like the Steelers because they were talking about, you know, they asked Van Pran, like, what would it be like if you went to the Steelers and played with somebody said offensive linemen, Broderick Jones and Darnell Washington. And he was like, that's funny. You mentioned Darnell as a offensive lineman. You know, he's actually a tight end, but. Josh Gillum does make a good point. He says Al Davis isn't there anymore. He was a speed lover. He's gone. I'm sure he has some disciples still sitting around the table.
Oh, yeah. His son.
Yeah. Still loving that speed over there.
Paul, I just found Daniel Jeremiah. This was January the 30th. He had Ladd going 44th, January 30th.
Well, then maybe, I don't know. I'll have to go. Eddie has it taped. Maybe can you go back, Eddie, for me and listen to that? It was when they were doing the wide receiver drills, like catching the balls.
Yeah, I'll go back and do that. I'll do that right after the show.
Watch the tape.
I don't think he's going to do
that. Perfect match with Drake London on the outside. You get a guy who's elite route runner and that speed. I think that's a match made in heaven for the Falcons in the second round.
Yeah.
You just said Falcons and Georgia.
Yeah, and Georgia, I know. That those two do this. It's like oil and water. I mean, come on.
You hear how did you hear how hard that was, Andy?
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's a ninja. Dude's a ninja. Dude.
Golly. Wouldn't want to be you know, in his way anytime soon. where do you stand real quick, James, on quarterback situation in the draft with these big time quarterbacks? Anybody rise or fall for you? Obviously a lot of them didn't play, so
Penix, he looked good, I think, but he's a second round pick. He could sneak into the end if someone trades up. McCarthy's floor is the 12th pick. He's going to get drafted in the first round, whether people like it or not. So for sure, four quarterbacks, maybe a fifth if someone trades back into the first.
As always, James, we appreciate having you on. Maybe next time we'll see. I don't know if you can get like much crazier in terms of where you're, because you were already
maybe,
in the garage.
Maybe a bathroom next.
Yeah. You're already in the garage. Now you're up in like the loft area here.
And hey, next time, next time you come on, wear one of those damn hats behind you. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Surprise us next time. I really want to be taken around the whole house. So,
all right. I got you guys.
See you, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garrett Key said in the bathtub next.
There you go.
Just take us around the whole house, JC. We'll be good there. So I think
let me ask you guys real quick. I know we got 3 minutes left. What if they decide to not take Justin Fields? They decide not to take Kirk Cousins. They just let me hear me out before you start doing that shit. They take. I'll just say. We'll base it on what James Caraway say. They take Jared Verse at 8.
Oh God!
All right, they take Dallas Turner. Is that
it
better?
Matter. No. It's the thought of them line missing of on Cousins. It's the missing just on wait. Cousins.
Maybe it doesn't Fields. Work out. Maybe it doesn't work out, and they take Michael Penix in the second round, and he's your starter next year.
I don't like that.
Why?
He's not ready to be an NFL quarterback.
How the hell do you know that?
I saw him in the national championship game.
So. Oh, that one game? Okay, that one game means he's not an NFL-ready quarterback.
Not ready now. I'm not saying he would be ready in a year or so, but he needs some season.
You tell me Jaden Daniels is ready to be an NFL quarterback? You tell me Caleb Williams is? Drake May is? You know all that?
I don't know that, but
wait a minute. Michael Penix is not ready. But the other three? Oh, come on.
Dude, it's like Andy just showed up late and was supposed to be home at curfew at 11:30, and Eddie's just reaming his ass right now. You know what time you're supposed to be home, son?
Damn it.
No. Beyond Creative said, Penix Medical is like my SAT. And I can only imagine that Beyond Creative's SAT probably wasn't good is what he's referring at. Because, I'm curious. Did they say anything about his medical? Because
not a damn word. Not a word.
Yeah. I wonder I'm curious. When does the medical stuff come out? Does it come out while they're at the combine, or does it come out the week after it starts getting leaked out?
Yeah, we'll find out. But that's all they do is they break these players down from this point forward, right?
When N'Kobe's his came out, like talking about his shoulder, like right before the draft.
Well, he didn't even do anything on pro day, right? I mean, he couldn't. Yeah.
Right. Man. I don't know.
Y'all can crap on it, but that could happen.
That would scare me, Eddie. You're going into the season with because you got to cut.
Well, I don't think with Blank and his mindset currently, where we got to win now, that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields. And more I'm hearing, what I found funny, Paul, is that every time I'd send you something about Justin Fields, or every time you'd send me something about Kirk Cousins, this is real. And every time I'd send you something about Justin Fields, it's fake news. That's fake news. So I found that amusing.
Look. Here's how I'll go down it real quick. Kirk Cousins 1, Fields 2, And then after that, it's just kind of a crapshoot. So I'm okay with Fields. It's not that I'm not okay with Fields. It's just I think Cousins would be much better.
It's just the money that bothers me. I just can't get
it. Yeah, because you're going to pay for it.
It's the salary cap, Paul. You got to consider that. It's not my money. It's not your money. That's not the point. It's the salary cap. We are constricted by the rules.
Which went up like $30 million this year.
Okay, great. But that's 45 against the cap. Fields is three. Look, do you not understand math? Did you take math in high school?
Guys, we appreciate you so much for joining us. We have to get out of here. Eddie needs his medication.
No, I need no medication. I'm right, and you damn well know it.
Eddie needs medication, guys, and we're going to have to call Miss Eddie from Ackworth to get him out of the chair if we don't get him out of here soon. So, guys, we appreciate it so much. Join us next Sunday for more hot takes from Eddie and Andy and myself just sitting here and getting berated. We'll see you then. Don't miss it out.